Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. This is the one and only Pro Wrestling Interviews. We got an incredible show tonight. So I'm going to start talking to our co-hosts, and then we'll meet our guest here in just a moment. First of all, from the outermost reaches of our radio band, from Indianapolis, Indiana, we got Todd tonight. How are you doing, Todd?
Outstanding, the supernatural, ecstatic to be here. Hope everyone is doing well.
Well, Todd, we're glad to have you. And from Richmond, Virginia, we got Tony tonight. How you doing tonight, Tony?
I am doing fantastic. You know, today was a beautiful day here in the RVA, and I get to come on here every single Sunday to be with you guys. So I'm excited for today.
Absolutely. We're glad to have you here. You're our newest co-host. So anyway, great to have you here. And of course, I'm here somewhere in beautiful sunny Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And the guy that's going to be our ringleader tonight, the one and only Steve Logan, Stellar Steven. How are you doing tonight, Steve?
Doing great. I want to start off this hot. Our guest, George, the Greek Pantis, he's a former ring announcer, now a promoter of VCW, Virginia Championship Wrestling. Very great to have him on. He has a very interesting life story. He's an immigrant from Greece, worked hard all his life. And I got to say, though, I want to clear the air right now. I think Jeff Jarrett did nothing wrong. That our friend John might protest that, but I had to say it while we had the time now. And we were talking about philosophy, George and I, and Socrates got brought up. I was listening to Friedrich Nietzsche. He said, Socrates belonged to the lowest of the low. Socrates was mob, you know, and you can see it for yourself how ugly he was. So that's my heat early on. George, please, we're so glad to have you.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here, ecstatic to be here. Definitely want to explore that Jeff Jarrett comment. Jeff is a dear friend. When he read Rick, we definitely did not see eye to eye on that one. And we'll explore that conversation. And I have to defend my Socrates, how you say the name, the correct pronunciation in Greek. And I'm a huge fan of his as a educator. I believe, I've always taught my students to ask questions. And, of course, the Socratic method involves dealing with questions. And, honestly, that's why he's my favorite.
Yeah, I did want to get into that. So I'm glad we cleared that up. But no, Socrates has interested me a little bit, looking into him more so recently, and also the Bill and Ted Excellent Adventure, one of my favorite movies. But yeah, I definitely want to talk about the October 1st VCW card. Do you mind going over it? I know you have the information, but please talk about the card if you can.
I would love to. Thank you so much. Well, first of all, it's really an honor to be on with you gentlemen. Thank you so much. Pro Wrestling Interviews. I've just recently was introduced to it. I don't believe in lying for the sake of lying, so I was just recently introduced to it and have been listening to, you know, clicking to check, get more information about you guys, and was very, very impressed with your product. So I feel very honored to be on here. So I wanted to make sure, Stephen, Tony, Dr. John, and Todd, thank you again for having me on.
You're welcome.
So, Virginia Championship Wrestling presents its our next show is October the 1st, like you said, Stephen, at the Salvation Army Croc Center of Hampton Roads. Now, that's for those listening, that's located at 1401 Ballantyne Boulevard in Norfolk, Virginia, and that's right at the intersection of Ballantyne Boulevard and East Princeton Road in Norfolk. Of course, we're based out of Norfolk, Virginia. We promote shows throughout the area, and this is our first time with this particular Salvation Army. We have a partnership with another one over in Suffolk, and we try to do these shows to where we can give back to our community, and this is our way of giving back by having the show at this particular Salvation Army Croc Center. All the proceeds from their concessions go directly to them, so they will make a very nice amount of money that particular night. It's free parking for our fans listening. We'll have signs to direct everyone to the gymnasiums. Doors open at 6:30 for the gymnasium. People can come in earlier just in case, God forbid, there's bad weather. They don't have to wait outside. They can wait inside. And then 6:30, we'll open the gym doors. 7:30, the show starts. And they can get their tickets at vcwprowrestling.com. All they need is a photo ID if they pre-order pre-order, so they can show their ID and get their ticket at the door. Our card is amazing. Our VCW heavyweight champion, Logan Easton LaRue, faces the former VCW heavyweight champion, Ken Dixon, for the title. Both of these gentlemen have wrestled throughout the East Coast. Logan has been on AEW. He's current champion at other promotions as well. Ken has been on Ring of Honor, MCW. We pride ourselves in using talent that travels up and down the coast, actually from all over the United States. And we're very proud of that fact of introducing new talent constantly to our fan base. Another amazing event that I am very interested in and have a stake in this is current Impact, NWA, and former WWE star EC3 will take on my favorite, the one that I brought in, WWE former star Gangrel. And this match has a stipulation. If EC3 loses, then the VCW Director of Operations, Jerry Stefanichis, who has been a thorn on my side, oh, God, for over 10, 12 years, he will have, he opened up his stupid mouth to say that he will have his head shaved. Well, we're going to hold him to it. So I'm going to do my best to make sure Gangrel wins that match October the 1st. I'm sorry, someone wanted to say something?
No, I think somebody chuckled.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm looking forward to that and the fact that Jerry's head might be possibly shaved. I'm kind of conflicted with this match because been a fan of Gangrel, especially in recent years, following his schools and some of his blogs. And EC3, I think it's great that he's doing his own brand, his own promotion. I think more DIY branding is great. So I'm very conflicted with this match. It'll be very interesting on paper, sure.
Well, and I have to agree with you there. I was actually at the last NWA pay-per-view, NWA 74, and one of the things I did was scout EC3. Of course, I know him from his contributions to our business to make sure I didn't miss that match, and he was amazing. So Gangrel, we've had he's been our heavyweight VCW heavyweight champion in the past, and I have the extreme confidence that he will prevail. We also have other matches, of course, our VCW Tag Team Champions, the Golden Pinky Society, versus Kingsglaive, which is Travis Huckabee and Max Zero, and that's, of course, for the tag titles. We also have, the fans have been asking us, when are you going to have women's wrestling? Well, when the fans ask, we listen, and this is now our second or third time consecutively that we're providing for them a women's wrestling match, and we're going to have Erica Lee versus Zeta Steel. And then we have a unique match I'm calling Ghouls and Goblins Elimination Match. We have Team Papadon. The Greek god Papadon, and his team consists of Brandon Scott, who just recently, and I'm going to divert here for a second for the fans listening. You know, people always ask, why should I go to an independent show? Well, as you gentlemen I know very well, this is where we see the stars of tomorrow. Brandon Scott was recently, and when I say recently, I mean this Tuesday, was on NXT wrestling. And where else are you going to see those kind of stars? You're going to see them at these independent shows, which is why it's important to support it. And he has been our heavyweight champion through the years as well. So it's Papa Don, Brandon Scott, Devontae's, and Frolix versus Team Money, and that consists of Dirty Money, Phil Brown, Gore, and Alex Devine. And this is basically an elimination match in the sense that opposing members start from each team, and once someone is eliminated, then someone else gets in, and basically once an entire team is eliminated, then whoever is left from the other team, they're the winners. We also have other matches as well. I'll just mention one more. Gino Medina. Gino comes to us all the way from Texas. He's recently relocated to Florida, but he's been coming forever from Texas, and he's one of the original major stars from Booker T School. And I love bragging about Gino. A couple of years ago when Bruce Pritchard was asked on his podcast, "Start an independent scene, who would you say is like, you know, the top star, the rising star?" The name that he mentioned was Gino Medina. So Gino will wrestle Bro Keller, and we have all the matches and surprises as well. So fans, again, please go to our website, vcwprowrestling.com, where you can get more information, pre-purchase packages for Gangrel. EC3 will also, there in the building, we'll have opportunities for photo ops. So we're just super, super excited. Thank you for giving me the time to promote our show.
Yeah, I want to get into Todd. I know you have a question, but I wanted to comment a few things. Erica Lee, very great wrestler. She's been working up north too recently. I'm really glad to see that she's on the card. And Gino, I saw him versus Bram Scott way back. I wasn't too familiar with him at the time, but he's definitely become one of the hottest free agents right now. I think he left MLW, so it's only a matter of time before he gets signed somewhere because he is a really great talent. And, I was actually sending a video that you guys posted of Alex Devine versus Bram Scott on YouTube. I sent that in the chat earlier. But, I just wanted to get my comments on those matches. And, Todd, you got a comment or a question?
Oh, definitely wanted to pick back up on the why go to an independent event. In my mind, while I'm just now scanning your website, George, I have not seen an independent event that wasn't bang for the buck, family friendly. The amount of time, the amount of entertainment, and I know that they're all up close and personal. Look, people don't do this. They're family friendly. Again, they're budget friendly. It's all about, you want a family event. You want to be able to do something like that. It doesn't get much better. It really doesn't. You can go to some one of those major shows in a major arena and leave with your eyes all worn out from trying to see something from a nosebleed seat. That's not going to happen there. George, am I off base?
I wanted to thank you for saying the word family friendly. We pride ourselves in that. Encourage the parents to bring the kids. Now for Halloween, we're going to encourage them to get dressed up, whether it's their favorite wrestling character or, Halloween character. Somebody tells me it's their birthday, I'm definitely a good guy commissioner. I will sing happy birthday to them from the ring. And especially with our location, we're normally based out of the Norfolk Masonic Temple. It's an amazing venue where we're able to do a little light show and just present it, more top level, if you will. There's never a bad seat in the house, and the same thing is going to be true with this gymnasium over here. You're right. I love going to AEW, to WWE. I enjoy them, but like you said, you can be up in the nosebleeds. There is no nosebleed a section here. Every location, you're able to see the ring. You're able, and what, the other thing that I pride myself, I remember, and when we'll get into my life story, we'll talk more about this. You know, back in the old days, you could talk to the wrestlers. You can go to the ring. You can go to the ring and touch them and get autographs. I'm talking back in the 70s. You know, now, of course, you can't do any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, I pride myself. I make sure most of our wrestlers come out during intermission and mingle with our fans and take pictures and sign autographs. And if they have products to sell, you know, give them the opportunity to make some extra money that way. So we are definitely very, very family friendly. Thank you, Todd, for saying that.
Yeah.
Hey, George.
Yeah.
George, yeah, this is Dr. John. I've got a comment to make. I've loved wrestling since I was 7 years old, and the two greatest moments of my life came in independent wrestling. I was an announcer. You remember Gary Sabaugh, the Italian Stallion?
Of course.
That's right. I was the PWA announcer for 4 years, and the two greatest moments of my
life.
Do what?
I said, no way. Thank you for that. Back in the MySpace and those years and the web posting or whatever they were called back then, I was proud because I met the Italian Stallion when he would come here wrestling for Jim Crockett Promotions. So to him and George South, you know, big fans of theirs, and I was rooting for that promotion big time. So thank you for being involved.
And I've got a 60-second story to tell you. The two greatest moments of my life were, number one, when the Bloodseeker and the Italian Stallion slammed a metal plate over my head and threw me in a coffin in front of 800 people in Statesville, North Carolina. Now, you talk about a great moment. And then in Akron, in a bingo parlor in Akron, Ohio, in front of 400 people, the Bloodseeker put me in the Cobra Clutch, and the Italian Stallion came out and rescued me, and the crowd went berserk. And, I mean, you know, two of the greatest moments of my life. I mean, this is better than being on Unexplained with William Shatner. I got to be honest with you. These were the greatest moments of my life, and they came in the most important sport that we have, which is independent wrestling. You have the greatest of the new talent and the greatest of the experienced talent. Do you agree, sir?
I agree 1,000%. That's something else I would try to do, obviously, with the card here, to bring whether they're a legend doing autograph signing or those who can still actively participate in the ring, to get them in there and show not only the fans, but to help our young talent become better. So, yes, I agree. I also love your stories, and I can't wait to talk to you after the podcast. I can hear more about these amazing stories. Like I said, I honestly was a huge fan. And now that I know I can talk to you about it, I can't wait to pick your brain even more. So thank you for sharing that.
I want to say that Pro Wrestling Interviews has brought some of the most amazing people together. We, from time to time, we have Susan Green, we have Maestro, we have Sinister, we have L.A. Tank. And, of course, every week we have Todd, we have Steve, and now Tony, and we got great people on this show that really love wrestling. Gentlemen, do you all agree? Say yes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Great to pick
all
some
right,
brains.
I'm going to go back into the out of the spotlight here, and I'm going to turn it back over to Steve. I just had to say that for you, George.
But
Dr.
John, don't go too far in the background. I heard at the beginning you're a huge Ric Flair fan, and I can't wait to tell you some Ric Flair stories.
Oh my God! Oh my God! Please continue, sir.
Yeah, I knew our friend John would like George, and yeah, I wanted to actually get Tony to ask this question. You had a question about ring announcing, is that right, Tony?
Well, there's two questions, but before we get to the ring announcing, I wanted to ask this question real quick, because speaking of independent wrestling, Big Time Wrestling just announced their show November 27th at the Dorrington Arena in Raleigh, North Carolina, and they just announced that the Hall of Famer, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat will be making his in-ring competition return. So I want to ask you, George, how excited are you to see the Dragon back in the ring?
I am super, super excited. Ricky is a very dear friend of mine and was definitely disappointed when the match between him and Rick that was originally announced did not happen. And there were very few for that, but now that he will be in ring competition, I'll be honest with you, if it wasn't over the Thanksgiving weekend, I would be right there. But Thanksgiving is always the big thing in our family, so I will not be traveling there. I'm super excited. I know Steve Perkins there with a big time wrestling. It's going to be either on some kind of a internet where people can see it. And so I look forward to seeing it that way, and I'll be helping out with it in the background.
Speaking of big time wrestling, I got the chance to see Gangrel in a tag team match against the Hardy Boys. That was a treat for sure. So definitely glad when you can interact with your favorite wrestlers at these local shows. And Tony, you had another question that I wanted to get to that.
The first time I got on pro wrestling interviews, I was talking about how my dream is to be in the wrestling business. But the number one thing I really wanted to do is ring announcing. So I want to ask you, like, any advice on becoming a ring announcer, and what are the tips to be a ring announcer?
Tony, where are you located again?
I'm located in Richmond, Virginia, the RVA.
Okay. Okay, that's what I thought. You are aware that there's independent – are you aware that there's independent promotions in Richmond?
Yes.
Okay. So I would definitely say advice number one is to reach out to them and offer to help in any way possible, whether you're and again, we can talk about this more, you know, offline as well. But for the fans listening, always the best way to get something is to volunteer to do anything, whether you're helping put up the ring, take down the ring, set up the chairs, pass out programs, you know, whatever the need is, so that way you can be trusted. The wrestling business is big on trust, because if I'm going to let you into this very elite family, I need to know that I can trust you with certain things that are happening that stay within the family, and to just try to, you know, to do the standard, okay, I'm going to watch. Of course, you know, the general comment would be listen to the famous announcers and try to get a little bit from each one of them. Our commentator and sometimes ring announcer, Blake Chadwick, actually has started to taking on, has decided, and he's out of Florida, but he has decided to take students and teach them the craft. So I highly recommend Blake's class, and I can give you his information again, you know, later on. But at the end of the day, you have to be trusted. So any wrestling event that's happening that's near you or a drivable distance, we're about an hour and a half away, hint, hint, from Richmond, is to get yourself known on the independent scene. And then as opportunity arises, you know, as everybody says, travel with your gear. My gear is a suit and tie. I don't go anywhere without that suit and tie. And that has come in handy in many ways. So same thing would be true for you. If, you know, when you go somewhere, again, you came to our show and you're setting up chairs, and all of a sudden our ring announcer is stuck. He lives in Richmond as well. He's stuck in Richmond and he can't make it. Well, if I know, and you and I have been talking, I'm going to say, go put that suit on. I need you to get in that ring in the next 10 minutes. So so get involved with local independent promotions and get known in there and do everything and anything to be trusted by them. And then slowly start working on your voice skills as well. Does that sound good?
Sounds very good. Thank you for the advice.
My pleasure.
Yeah, I was I was telling our friend Tony that you were a former ring announcer turned investor, so he was definitely interested in hearing your advice. So we're glad we got to that. And
Stephen, in fact, since you said that,
just
kind of one more time, Tony, and that's really how I got involved with Virginia Championship Wrestling. My background, you know, what pays the bills was education. I've been in education for 40 years, happily retired 3 years ago. And at one time I was an administrator and assistant principal and all the fancy titles. I pulled myself away from the wrestling business because you can only imagine I'm an assistant principal. Your son just got into a fight. I called you to come and pick him up because I suspended him for 10 days. And then on your way out, I'm going to say, oh, by the way, we have a wrestling show next week. If you want to come, you know, I can sell you some tickets. You know, your son just fought, but, you know, I got to suspend him. But come see another fight. So I didn't get the two mesh very well. So I pulled myself out of it. But then my mother went back to Greece, and I didn't want to be so far away, and I actually came out of the administration position and purposely went in the classroom so I could have my summers off and go and visit her, my mother and my sister. And that's when, you know, as a teacher, it's not as big as being an administrator. So at that point, I had known about Virginia Championship Wrestling, and that's what hurts. You know, I'm kind of jumping around a little bit, but I was the one that introduced Jerry Stefanichis to Virginia Championship Wrestling, and to turn around and treat me the way he's been treating me, I still have a hard time with it. But and so I reached out to them and I said, "Hey, I'm available if you guys are interested." And I've done announcing, you know, in the school environment, at my church, at many other things. So that talent comes easy for me. And so I was hired as a ring announcer. Dr. John, like you were saying, I'll never forget it. Someone that I was very, very friends with in the 70s, Greg the Hammer Valentine, was on the card, and I was like,
nice.
I couldn't believe it, introducing Greg the Hammer Valentine. Greg was back in the 80s, and it was right before he left Jim Crockett Promotions up north, and he was actually going to come over to my house for Greek dinner. And then 2 weeks later, he's gone. So I was doing the ring announcing, and then the opportunity came to become a part owner of the company, and then eventually I became the commissioner, and the rest of the stays.
Yeah, I'm glad we can get a summary of your background. And, the ring announcing role is very important. It's funny, just today, earlier, when I was doing open mat at my BJJ school gym, we were talking about this famous MMA ring announcer, and she's, you know, was very notable for Pride MMA in Japan, but apparently her ring introductions or her ring announcing was a little bit over the top wild. So sometimes, like, even the best ring announcers, like, even have their bad moments. But, I'm glad we can touch up on how you got into VCW and your relationship with Jerry. And it's definitely looking forward to seeing the result of that Gangrel EC3 match, for sure, having known, you know, all of us having known the history between you and Jerry just now.
Steve, this is Dr. John. I want to jump in real quick and say thanks to everybody. It's the top of the hour. Thanks to Banana Jack Murphy, WLSCAMNFM, Lawrence Conway, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, the home of Banana Jack in the Morning, and Martha Biddle and Banana Jack, and sometimes Dr. John from 10 to noon as we talk about paranormal and all kinds of cool stuff. So thanks, Banana Jack and your whole crew, for having us on your stations, and we appreciate it, and especially TigerRadio.com. Back to you, Steve.
I wanted to bring up the fact that it's been great seeing these VCW wrestlers on WWE TV. Recently we had Trevor Irvin, or Irvin Legend, Phil Brown, Brandon Scott, Can you talk about those three and how much they've meant to BCW?
It really is one of those pinch-me moments because it's what we live for. Irving is young and has a great future in front of him. Phil is a veteran. For lack of a better description, he's our undertaker in the locker room, the locker room leader that everyone looks up to.
Right.
And in the past, he's had opportunities. And, of course, timing is everything. So when he was recently on, thank you for mentioning Phil's name and Irving's name. The scene still there with Rhonda. He had told me what he was going to go on, but to hear it, it's another thing to see it. You know, I feel right now just visualizing that moment. And it wasn't the first time. I've been on there all the time as well. Brandon has been, he's had the Braun Strowman's hands put on. He's been, I think, like a EMT doctor. They've used him a lot as well. And it really is very rewarding to know that VCW, MCW, the guys not only work for us, they are independent. And especially, they are in a contract. They work for many different promotions, which is what we encourage them to do, is to work for as many promotions as possible. So that way they can, especially the young ones, like Irving, can hone their craft. Because the more you're in that ring, the more you're, and every audience is different. You know, you can go to MCW or VCW and so many others in between, and that audience reacts to you a different way. And you have to, the only way to know being in front of the audience and working and working and working. So it was really an exciting moment, and it makes it all worthwhile with what we do.
Yeah, definitely glad to hear about those three and how valuable they are. Just to make it clear, I think we're having a little bit of audio issues. We can still hear you, but just it sounds a bit choppy, so just
yeah,
here, check
click,
if
click
your just make sure you are coming in clear. But I wanted to ask what age did you move from Greece to the States, by the way?
Currently, I'm 66 years young. I was 10 years old when I came to this country, not speaking a word of English. I still don't speak American. Ha, ha, ha. thank you. I heard one little laugh there out of the four. Now you guys remind me when I was in the classroom. They didn't laugh at my jokes either. my father came over in 64. We were very, very poor. Of course, I didn't know we were poor because everybody was, you know, lived the same way. Small village, no electricity, no running water. It wasn't until I came to America that it was like, oh my God, we weren't poor. We were poor. We couldn't even afford the letter R. But thank God for his determination, and he worked hard to give us a great future. And both my sister and I got into education, and I was introduced to wrestling very young. I was probably around 11, 12 when I saw it on TV for the first time. Mid-Atlantic Wrestling, Jim Crockett Promotions. Brute Bernard, George Becker, Johnny Weaver. Oh, my God. I was hooked from the point I saw it.
Yes, our friends John and others are big fans of Mid-Atlantic Wrestling, and so it's great to have someone from that time who kind of archived some of those matches, like Ric Flair versus Buddy Rogers. How many matches were you able to see from Flair and Rogers at that time? Because I know you filmed the one in Norfolk, and that was recently used in the Jim Crockett Promotions videos.
Yes, this was they only wrestled three times. Buddy Rogers, the booker at that time was George Scott. And George Scott and Buddy Rogers were friends from way back. So George came up with the idea when Rick came in, and they decided to push him to the moon. Thank God they did. George Scott came up with the idea of giving, you know, the monster nature boy to Rick. And what better way to do it than to have Body do the honor? So Body came down, and they wrestled three times, one in Norfolk, one in Richmond, and one in Carolina. I want to say Greensboro. And I only saw the one. The live match that I saw, as I said, we were a poor family. So I only went to the Hampton Coliseum, Norfolk Scope, and that's where I saw the matches. So I was very fortunate to see a particular one. It was incredible. And someone posted the footage, and I have it. I don't know how long it's going to stay because I sold that footage to WWE. But someone posted it on Facebook, and I posted it on my Facebook line. So if anybody wants to see it, it used to be on network. I have not been able to find any of my footage on Peacock, but I've been very blessed that they've used my footage for various things from trees and other shows, A&D, Most Wanted Treasures, to all the things that they've done. So I've been very blessed that WWE has used footage. But the answer to you is they only wrestled three times, and I only saw one.
Yeah, and it was very, very neat seeing you credited in those Jim Crockett Promotions videos recently and seeing some of the footage from your recordings. And I know you've talked about it before, but did you reach out to Comrade way back or recently about that, about, you know, donating the footage?
Sure. I love telling that story. Conrad and I became friends. I wear many hats in life. So one of the hats that I wear is I am a writer for the military newspaper here called Flagship. They print 50,000 copies across the internet. You can read it worldwide. And so I handle their entertainment and sports section. And I've been blessed to interview from Tony Bennett to Hank Williams Jr., from Linda Carter, Wonder Woman, to Marie Osmond, and so many, and then many wrestlers, you know, through the years. And I reached out to Conrad when he started the podcast with Bruce, and I interviewed him and Bruce, and then that just blossomed into a friendship. So Conrad and I are very, very good friends, and Conrad knew of my footage that I sold to WWE. And then I helped debating how much to share here. When he decided to interview Jim Crockett Jr., and thank God he did because he passed away after that, I assisted with that. And Conrad asked me if I had any footage. And God is good every day. I had just recently discovered at that time footage that I had not sold to WWE. And that's because I just didn't have, I had discovered it in another location where I kept footage. And so when I said, oh, my gosh, yes, I do have some footage. So at the end of that, on his Ed Free show, when he interviewed Jim Crockett Jr., I gave him my footage. I give it to him. You know, I allowed him to use my footage on there as a way of not just hearing the stories, but seeing some of them, and amazing footage of Wahoo versus Ric Flair, Wahoo versus Abdullah the Butcher, Roddy Piper versus Jack Briscoe. I mean, I had great stuff there, and so Conrad knew that I had that footage. So then fast forward to Ric Flair's last match, and Conrad reached out and said, George, I'd like to use that footage again. And, of course, you know, we came to an understanding and an agreement, and they did. But I was blown away. I had no idea they were going to have my name in the credits. So, like you said, especially like on the first episode there at the end, which says, and for the footage, thank you, WWE and George Pontus. I'm like, oh, my God. I popped for myself because I didn't know they were going to do that. And part of the blessing was that I was able to go to that whole StarCast 5 event and see many of my old friends, and I had access to the back and helped with the behind the scenes in various ways. And it was just, it's one of those, when you do good to people, good comes back to you. I'm a firm believer of it.
Yeah, it was a very interesting event, and the buildup was as interesting as well, very heated. John, Todd, and I were actually watching Ric Flair's last match, together online, and it was a very interesting match and an emotional moment for Flair, and I think it was a great performance from Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal. I kind of sympathize with Jarrett watching the build-up, so that's why I had to mention him earlier. Plus, I'm an aspiring antagonist, and one of my favorite VCW moments that I got to experience was meeting Jeff Jarrett at VCW way back, too, when he was with before he was helping out Kobe Carino that night as well, against his match versus Ken Dixon, I believe.
Yes, yeah. So you were there that night, or you saw it on YouTube?
Yeah, I was fortunate to be there, and this was after his Hall of Fame speech had already taken place.
Yeah.
So this was after the Royal Rumble. I was really excited to see. I called it. I knew they had to do a Jeff Jarrett Elias moment, and them starting up the Rumble was great, and him mentioning Owen Hart during the speech, just it made that night special. Just him talking about Owen.
Yes,
so
indeed. Now,
it was great telling him about it.
So I'm sorry. Who am I speaking with? Is this Steven?
Yes, it's Steven. That was very.
Okay.
Yeah, it was fortunate to tell him that in person.
That's awesome. Jeff is an amazing guy, and I'm also very blessed in being good friends with his father, and a huge fan of all of their work. And it's one thing to see it, on the internet there. It's another thing to be there. I have to tell you guys, I have goosebumps now just describing it. But for that match, I left the back, and I came in there so I could enjoy the moment. No matter where I walked around, I could barely see the ring because everybody was standing up. And when Jeff came out, I called it Memphis Heat. Oh, my God. Everybody wanted to kill him. And the way he came over and shoved Conrad and everything that happened, and all that was organic. It wasn't like it was planned or anything. It was heat. He had heat. It was incredible. It was incredible. And also, very dear friends with Jay Lethal. We had Jay in February at BCW, and I was fortunate enough to have a 7-year-old grandson that loves wrestling. We were able to have a moment there where my grandson was involved in what was happening with Jay, and he was wrestling, and he's just very special and dear to my heart. So to see him on that high-level stage warmed my heart dearly. But I want to say, it's one thing to see it on I have the DVD, and I've looked at it and see some of the fan stuff that's posted. But to be there and experience it, it was part of history. And the history that Rick and I have, I'm very blessed.
Yeah, we're definitely glad to hear that you played a part leading up to it. And, I agree with you, what you said earlier. It was just Jeff's walkout was great heat. And, I didn't expect him to push Conrad either. And the whole Negan incident with Karen was great.
Yeah.
There was a lot of great drama in that match. And, I think it's one of Jeff's best performances. And I think Jeff has kind of been underrated. I think he's kind of earned legend status, certainly now after having, you know, been one of Flair's last opponents. So,
let's put over his podcast as well. I'm a huge fan of his podcast. I'm assuming you are as well. My World with the stories that he had. And what a weekend he had, being in SummerSlam the night before, and I was there. I was second row, and I got to see him reffing that match, and it was, oh, my gosh, it was incredible. And then the next, being in the main event, he truly is a very blessed man and deserves everything.
Yeah, he's had a great year. Like, he's probably not going to top a PWA 500, but he's had a really great year in wrestling and just being booked everywhere, AAA, GCW, WWE, Jim Crocker Promotions. Like, he's just all over the place. He's very relevant. And, so it's great that you got to see that live. And, I love the part earlier in the show with him and Jerry and Jerry Lawler backstage. And Jerry Lawler was, talking about Rick. And you got to see villain Jerry Lawler, backstage. So that was pretty cool. Getting to meet Jerry at a convention a while back was a pleasure, too. And, one of my favorite wrestlers, Raven, said Jerry Lawler is the best of all time. So getting to tell Jerry that in person was great. And seeing him at that Jim Crocker promotion show, even just backstage, was a cool moment as well.
Yes, yes. But then
we were doing the Jackie Fargo strut.
Before I make my comment about who else was in the back that didn't necessarily appear on video, because I do want people to know that. Let's not forget Karen Jerry as well. Karen was amazing that night. Huge fan of her work, and she played the heel to the T. very happy. Some of the people that, didn't, of course, we saw on camera The Undertaker, and we saw Mick Foley.
Bret Hart.
Bret Hart. But there were others, many others that were in the back that came to show their love and support. And what I really want fans listening to understand is those people, those wrestlers, those legends, came out of the kindness of their own heart. Conrad did not pay them. I want the pay-per-view to look good, so man, I'll give you X amount of dollars. That did not happen. They came out of the official because of the love and respect that they had for Rick. Rey Mysterio and his son were there. Michael P.S. Hayes was there. Rusev was there. Mo was there. I'm leaving people out. Of course, Undertaker's wife was there. Bret's wife was there. I'm leaving people out. But Hurricane, he was there. They were there to show their love and respect for Rick. That just speaks volumes about them as a human being. Go ahead.
I gotta say the undercard was good on paper too. I saw that you got a pick with that Karrion Kross and Scarlett. I think Kross versus Davey Boy Smith was the match I really wanted to see. I wish it was a little bit longer, but I'm just glad those two got to go at it because they actually had a match at Josh Barnett's Bloodsport, which is like MMA-type wrestling. So I was really glad to see those two on the card as well. And I think Davey Boy Smith Jr. is underrated, and I think Killer Kross can be a big star. And I think with Triple H in charge of WWE, I think that's more likely now. I'm really glad to see that he's gotten another opportunity.
Yes, and we see how much he's being pushed already. I do have a quick story about him. So if you notice on his left shoulder, of course, with the tattoos, one of the tattoos is actually a Greek saying, which is the saying from Leonidas, the 300 Spartans, about victory. And so I saw that, and I'm like, I didn't know this guy's Greek. I Googled him. It didn't say anything about Greek. I said, nah, I guess he just likes the movie 300 Spartans or something. But I had a chance to meet him at StarCast. And so I went up and talked to him. And I said, look, I got to ask you, why do you? I said, I'm Greek. So obviously I read your Greek tattoo. Why do you have a Greek tattoo? And he says, because I'm Greek too.
Wow.
So that made me super happy. I hugged him. I kissed him. You know, I'm Greek. We hug and kiss everybody. And it was very, very cool to hear and see that. And I root for everyone, but I'm rooting for him even a little bit more because he's Greek.
I know we're wrapping up on time, but I have to get this question in. What do you think about AEW and the Khan family? You have to be able to relate to an immigrant family with, you know, that owns a wrestling promotion. I had to get your thoughts on AEW Curly, and I'm really glad to hear that Karrion Kross story, by the way. That was great.
Yes, and I also have, if we have time, I definitely want to throw in here, and I know we have not even touched on my Ric Flair stories or any of that, so if you guys want to, I'm more than happy
Excuse
to come
me.
Back in a couple of months and share those stories. But I definitely would undertake the story. And before we do that, I want to answer your question. I'm so happy for the independent wrestling having a resurrection. It's almost like back to the territories days, because it gives opportunity for the guys to hone their craft. I feel the same way with Tony Khan's father. They came, father came with panties in his pocket, and God bless America. It's what I preach to my students. Before I retired, I taught seniors, and I would say over and over again to them, America is the best country in the world for many reasons. And one of the many reasons is, as long as you're not afraid to work, you will either always find a job, and if you can't find a job, you create your own job. And that's what they did, and look where they are today. I'm a huge supporter of the product. If I miss it on a Wednesday night, I DVR it so I can catch up with it later. It's great. I'm sorry about all this recent stuff with CM Punk happening, but it's the next beast sometimes, and I hope all that can be worked out and we can have a wrestling show that we can just enjoy, and that kind of drama needs to just be handled properly and not put out there. But I'm so happy for them. I wish them all the success in the world. And as I said, Irving has been there, Logan has been on there. They support us as well. We've had as I said Jay, and we've had the Fallen Angel from there. We have a good relationship with them as well, and we're looking forward to having more talent exchange. So full supporter of Tony and what he's doing.
Yeah, it's great. It's seeing another place for independent wrestlers to go work. I was really excited that Silas Young got a match on TV way back as well. And, I was very glad to see Erica Lee and Logan LaRue in AEW a little bit recently. I was at the Norfolk event, so that was fun getting to see some local talent, independent talent on that show. And since we're 7 minutes till, if you have any plugs or mentions, please feel free to share now while we have the time.
Okay, so how many minutes do we have left? So I know.
6 minutes.
Six minutes.
That's exactly right, Steve.
All righty. So, of course, going back to our show, October the 1st, Virginia Championship Wrestling. It will be in Norfolk, October the 1st, Croc Salvation Army Center, and that's, again, located on 1401 Ballantine Boulevard. Fans, go to vcwprowrestling.com for all the information, tickets. You will see EC3, Gangrel. You will see our champions. You will see local talent and talent from all over the United States. And it's the best wrestling for your dollar. We are very family-friendly and environment, and we promote good, healthy wrestling. And I can't wait for my man Gangrel to defeat EC3 and see Jerry Stefanicius finally have his head shaved. I am so super excited about that.
Yeah, it should be a fun event. Tony, Todd, any plugs or mentions you'd like to get in or last comments or questions?
I would like to say a big congratulations and shout out to Up Next Pro Wrestling up in Yorktown, Virginia. They just had their very first show last night. Sadly, I had to miss it because of some car issues, but I heard that the show was very good. And big shout out to the White Wolf, Bo Crockett, on becoming the first and new Up Next World Heavyweight Champion.
Take care of yourselves. Take care of your family. Take care of one another. Big hugs.
Hey, the I was not able to make the event last night, but I was able to go to a great show at the Great American Ranch in Virginia. It's a local bar, and there's a band called Cheap Shot. Check them out if you're into covers, rock music. They actually played a variety of music. I wasn't expecting Lady Gaga and Metallica play like covers on the same show. So you get a little bit of everything with Cheap Shot from Richmond, Virginia. So check them out online. And, yeah, definitely looking forward to possibly seeing BCW's next event or at least the fallout from it. So it's been great. John, do you have any plugs or comments?
I've got one big plug, which is the Havelock, North Carolina Comic-Con, directly across the street from Cherry Point Marine Base with 23,000 Marines and their families. We're so proud to be providing great family entertainment and everything to them on November the 19th. I'll be plugging that forever. And then the minute that's over, we'll be talking about the great Jacksonville Comic-Con. And, Todd, we got to get you down to the Jacksonville Comic-Con on the third weekend in February. Please see what you can do, because I just couldn't imagine us not having the revitalization of the Jacksonville Comic-Con without Todd Saxon and his family and his son and all your – and his wife and all these great people. So Todd, we'll see if you can do it. Okay.
All right. We'll work brains. I got no problem being in a warmer climate that time of year.
All right. Very, very good. And Steve, we'll turn it back over to you. Thank you.
Yeah. I just, really appreciate George having you on, and in my bio I like to call myself an aspiring antagonist and podcast panelist, so that's why I started off with some Nietzsche on the Socrates earlier. I hope to pick your brain more and hopefully have you on another time, hopefully to promote another show, and thanks for coming on, and thanks panel for coming on as well.
I want to thank Pro Wrestling Interviews. Thank you, Todd. Thank you, Dr. John. Thank you, Tony. Thank you, Stephen, for having me on. And I will tease you guys with this because I definitely want to come back and share some more stories. I guess I'll do two real quick. I was, as they say, this close to being the real pallbearer in WWE, and I just recently started sharing that story out loud. And the coolest moment for me was to tell Mark, the Undertaker, to tell him about that experience, that we were almost tag team partners. So I can't wait to share that story in the future. And then Ric Flair, real quick, because I promised Dr. John, Ric Flair was asked, hey, of all the crazy stuff, what was your favorite? And he said, oh, the Jim Crockett Cup in Baltimore. What happened afterwards there, I was there for the afterwards. And I'll tease you guys with that too, and I know we're running out of time, but tune in, as Tony Schiavone says, oh, we're out of time.
Definitely out of time. Greatest night in the history of our sports.
All right. Thank you so much, George. Thank you, all of our panelists. We're glad to have you. We'll see you next week. Same bat time, same bat channel, 7:30 p.m. Eastern time on Pro Wrestling Interviews. We'll see you next time. Take care. Everybody
later,
say goodbye.
Goodbye. Pow, kapang.
Ha. I mean, what more can we say?
Where's
Dr.
the British
John's
lady?
Family?
Where's that cow-pow British lady?
Well, I don't know. We'll get her. We'll make sure that she shows up. And
I'm sorry.
Oh, no problem.
Opa.
Yeah.
Opa.
Well,
for Greek deities, I'm all about Dionysus.
Hey, I second that emotion with a glass of wine and ouzo.
I like it.
Absolutely. Now, come on. There we go. All right, guys. Take care. Bye-bye.
Rest in peace.
Bye-bye.